You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What is up, Wisconsin and beyond? Happy, yeah, it's only Tuesday. Tuesday afternoon, my name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am always thrilled, humbled, and excited to talk to my next guest. His name is Nick Ramos, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, fighting for the right of every Wisconsinite to have their voice heard through our democratic processes. Free and fair elections. What does that require here in Wisconsin and these United States? It requires getting money the heck out of politics and ensuring that we have fair maps forever here in Wisconsin. It keeps our elected officials accountable to each and every one of us. Nick, my hero, my man, welcome back to the show. It's so great to see you. It's been far too long, my friend.
I just got to tell you, you talk about it just only being Tuesday, but a Tuesday where they let us cook live. I mean, I am elated. So I'm happy. Happy Tuesday, Maggie. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen when Nick and I are chopping it up on live radio. That is for sure. So don't go anywhere, folks. Yesterday, the Washington Post had this fascinating piece out. Short little piece. But what they basically said is that voters in rural Wisconsin, but voters writ large in Wisconsin, may decide who holds the House of Representatives majority come 2026. And there are a couple of factors that are adding to this. Most notably, and we're going to get to the money and the politics, but most notably, we're going to have a mid-decade redistricting process here in the state of Wisconsin ahead of the 2026 midterm elections. And there are two districts currently controlled by Republicans here in the state that could become significantly more competitive. Yeah, DVO, I'm looking at you, that big jerk Derek Van Orten, as well as Representative Brian Style. Here's what Derek Van Orten had to say when asked by CNN about the stakes of redistricting the state. We both lose, referring to himself and Representative Style. So that's why everyone's paying attention to this on a national level. Nick, like, what's your hot take? I love it when Republicans know they might lose if they're actually in a competitive congressional district.
Well, way to set the stage, because the first congressional district and the third congressional district, even with the rigged, gerrymandered maps that are still in play for those seats for the federal races, we're looking at right now, there was recently that lawsuit that is now challenging those maps.
Yep.
And I think it's just comedy that at the end of the day, a state like Wisconsin, who is, it's truly a purple state. I mean, we look at it all the time and how thin these margins are, statewide races, even some of these ones where the maps aren't so friendly just to balance. And like, folks recognize that, oh, wow, maybe the party is up if we can't have the same kind of maps that guarantee that we will never lose these seats. And so, you know, it was a big hoopla during this last election, as far as, you know, if the Susan Crawford comes here and ends up being on the bench, that now we're going to see her sell these seats and stuff. But the fact of the matter is that we've needed a course correction in Wisconsin when it comes to the legislative maps for years. And so they're saying the quiet part out loud. And I think they're saying that, like, oh, wow, like, if we don't get these same
if we don't get an unfair, it's an unfair advantage, right? It's like stacking the deck. It's cheating at cards. It's kicking your golf ball. I mean, pick your tortured sport. Maybe we should call it Deflategate. I don't know. Pick your tortured sports analogy. And that's what both Derek Van Orten and Brian Style have here, is a rigged map that nearly ensures their victory in those two congressional districts. Now, Nick, in case people get it twisted or sort of get it confused, we had significantly improved maps, but that was relating to primarily our state assembly and Senate maps. What we're talking about now is the federal congressional map for the House of Representatives. And that, as you mentioned, Nick, relates to a lawsuit that was filed last month by the Elias Group, a law firm led by Mark Elias, who's a longtime Democratic election lawyer, and he's challenging those congressional maps. So we not only have a mid-decade redistricting that'll happen, but you've got Mr. Elias pushing forward with this lawsuit in our state courts as well. Now, footnote there, of course, because there's everything always relates all together. Mark Elias is one of those lawyers, and his former law firm, Perkins Coie, these are people that have been name-checked and the law firm name-checked in an executive order by Donald Trump, trying to basically blow up their ability to ever practice law. Now, Perkins Coie has been fighting back in the federal courts, got an injunction against that executive order, but Donald Trump doesn't even want lawyers able to represent Democrats or folks that are fighting for fair maps. Now, here's the hook on fair maps for people, and this is my appeal to what I'm going to call conservatives of good faith across the state, including middle of the road Republicans. And that is, you do not have elected Republicans currently that reflect your values. What you have are hand-picked MAGA acolytes, right? And why, can you take people through why having rigged maps in this way places, even if you think you're a Republican or you like Republicans more, it places those even Republican congressional electeds outside of any realm of accountability to actual voters and makes them instead accountable to Donald Trump, the MAGA regime, and Elon Musk.
Wow. I mean, I wish we had hours to talk about this, but, you know, it's a tight window, so I got to try and get a lot in a short amount of time. So, look, like, rigged maps, it's bad across the board, and it's you know, people love gerrymandered maps when it's beneficial to you. When you get to literally be Mike Tyson and everybody that you're boxing has their arm tied behind their backs, who wants to get in the ring with Mike Tyson? Nobody wants to go ahead and start raising money and try and go for a race that they know they have no shot in. And as you correctly stated, like, at the end of the day, these folks, they do not belong to us as voters. They're supposed to be public servants, but guess what? They don't need to listen to us. They need to speak to the people that can put the money into their coffers and the ones that have the influence. And so they sit there and they look at us as the small people and say, well, you know, you guys can complain all you want, but guess what? We get to rule with iron sway, and it doesn't matter, because the maps, the way we drew them, ensure that we never lose. So it's like, people don't want to stand up to them, but we saw a major victory through our state legislative maps. We've been able to get legally drawn maps that are signed, that are voted by the legislature, signed by the governor, and we have a real shot to be able, we're already seeing, like, right now, how that is impacted after one election cycle. The balance has started to shift. And now people are worrying at the congressional level that if we go and change the maps up to actually make them fair instead of one-sided, that, like, oh no, we're going to lose the House of Representatives in 2026 come midterms time, because Wisconsin, as you know, we're always the belle of the ball when it comes to the world, when it comes to who gets to decide who's kingmaker. Everybody looks here. And we have 8 seats here. And we got 2 seats that you mentioned. Rural voters are going to get to decide. And will they get an opportunity to actually vote for somebody that hears them and chooses them? And, like, we choose them? Or is it going to be just a unilateral transaction? And that's not the way democracy is supposed to be.
Folks, that's Nick Ramos, executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. What Nick just said is the kernel. If you live in DVO's district, if you live in Stiles' district, here's what I have to say to you. Do you believe that Congress is working well? Do you believe that the House of Representatives is functional? Do you believe that Medicaid should be gutted? Do you believe that emergency food assistance should be gutted? The Veterans Administration, on and on. If you want more responsive elected congresspeople than what we've got now, if you think Congress should work better for regular working class and middle class Americans, fair maps is the way to go. You get to pick your congressperson, not Elon Musk, not Donald Trump. It is restoring power to the people where it always should have been. It is what we are about. And frankly, I don't give a damn. If we get fair maps and folk pick a Republican, go ahead. I'm not about it from a partisan standpoint, because I damn well know that that Republican elected from a fair map will actually be responsive to the voters of the first and third congressional districts. And that is what it is about. And Nick, excellent point about seeing a more responsive legislature here in the state. There's less trickery, though not zero, right? And there's more leverage for Democrats because the margins are thinner. So as we approach this time period, what do you want voters in Wisconsin to know? What should people be doing to tell their elected officials today and to work towards fairer maps for tomorrow?
The political pendulum swings either direction. And I just tell people, do you want a system that's based on fairness, or do you want a system where one party, one group, one leader gets to just lead like a dictator for the rest of your life? Like, that's just not the way that I grew up thinking about democracy. It meant that, like, we as people, we have a voice, and that voice is our vote. And when we vote and we count all the votes, what the results are, if it's our person, great. If it's not our person, the people decide it, and that is where the pendulum swings. But I'm just going to tell people that when you continue to operate under gerrymandered maps, people become resentful, and people look, and then they want to do the exact same thing to the other party. And we need to get away from doing that and have a system that's based on equity and actually hearing us, because it's we the people. It's not the lawmakers and their well-funded people and their corporations that get to choose what our lives are. And a lot of them are out of state. Like,
yes.
Guess what? We as Wisconsinites get to deserve to choose our destiny. And for now, people are pissed, and they deserve to be able to have more agency.
More agency, more voice, more accountability from elected officials. I part of the reason I do the job that I do now and left public service, which I adored, is because I don't want anybody to think that they can't hold government accountable. That accountable government isn't a partisan issue. We all want it to work better for more of us and more efficiently. That is not partisan. And the way that we do that is by paying attention to the systems. Because if the system is rigged to screw middle-class folk and middle-class families, that is exactly what will happen. And we have seen that. Fairer maps that serve both Democrats and Republicans, but almost most importantly, swing voters and independents and reinvigorating people's engagement with democracy is where it's at. Nick, you know, you mentioned that Wisconsin is the microcosm for the country. Well, Milwaukee is the microcosm for Wisconsin. I got a guy coming on next to talk about that very thing. But Nick, can you hang out for a little bit longer? Join me at the bottom. You got to go, or can you join me?
No, I'm staying.
Nick is going to stay. He's going to join me at the bottom of the hour. We're going to continue to talk about money and politics. I got Jeremy Janine from Urban Milwaukee joining me next. We might be talking about unfunded mandates. That's Jeremy Janine from Milwaukee as a Microcosm up next right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Nick is sticking around. So should you.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. Well, the Washington Post says, as goes Wisconsin, so goes the House of Representatives in 2026. And I say, and so does my next guest, as goes Milwaukee, so goes the state of Wisconsin. His name is Jeremy Janine, contributor, creator, editor of Urban Milwaukee. You can find all of Jeremy and all of his co-contributors' work at urbanmilwaukee.com. Welcome back to the program, Jeremy. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So we're talking about roads, what I'm going to just call infrastructure funding in the city of Milwaukee. If you are from around these parts, you know that driving around the city requires like a certain part of your brain to be always on the lookout for potholes and other assorted obstacles. Tell us what the funding problem that the city of Milwaukee is facing when it comes to our local streets.
Well, this is a perfect Milwaukee's microcosm for the state of Wisconsin, because Milwaukee's issues are just Wisconsin's issues magnified. When we think about roads in Wisconsin, the public debate often goes to these big interstates, these large state highways, and then we think about the gas tax. Well, most of Milwaukee's roads and most of roads in every town in Wisconsin are not those roads. They're local roads. In Milwaukee, there is an $820 million backlog to fix all the roads that are in, quote, poor condition, and that's an engineering term, an actual grading scale of pavement quality. So of 5,000-some miles of streets in Milwaukee, 25% of them are in poor condition and in need of replacement.
Ooh, it sounds like we just lost. Jeremy, you still there, or did we lose? Oh, there you are. Go ahead, Jeremy.
I'm still here. I'm actually standing by the side of one of our lovely pothole-ridden roads at the moment. And so we have this massive backlog that Milwaukee, part of Milwaukee has gotten into this, problem a little bit by itself, because in the 1990s, Mayor John Norquist wanted to keep taxes low as part of reinvigorating the city. Well, the city from 1993 to 1996 didn't spend anything on local roads. So like cities across Wisconsin have discovered in the mid-2000s, Milwaukee added a wheel tax, a $20 a year fee, and later boosted it to $30 a year. That fee is now chipping away at that backlog, but at an amount that would take 200 some years to resolve the condition. So Milwaukee and many cities...
Let's just recap that. Our current wheel tax, if we just kept it where it is and we don't get any more additional funding, that is going to take 240 years to actually raise the funds required to get our local roads back up to where they should be. Of course, that will cost even more money, because the longer you wait, the more the roads degrade, the greater the capital expense. It's just a vicious cycle. So what options are available for the city of Milwaukee, and of course, by extension, other communities across the state that are looking at these massive capital expenditures?
So there's four real options city engineer Kevin Muse has identified for Milwaukee. Some of them are politically unpalatable. You could simply jack up the wheel tax, make it $100 a year. It would still take a long time to address every street, but you'd be addressing it, but that's politically unpalatable. You could institute what is called a transportation utility, where maybe you have a special tax on parking spaces and those go to fund local streets. That's politically desirable for Milwaukee, because a lot of the people using the city streets aren't in the city, so you could more equitably tax parking. But the Wisconsin Supreme Court has ruled against those. You could hope for a Hail Mary from the state of Wisconsin, and then you could look at other local funding sources. But the conclusion is there's really no good option. Milwaukee and a lot of other Wisconsin cities, because of how we fund roads in the state, are in for a rough, pothole-ridden time.
Here's the thing that really ticks me off a bunch. I talked about negative externalities earlier on this program, Jeremy, with reference to PFAS and forever chemicals, and the idea that businesses should not be able to subsidize their businesses when they create negative impacts that are passed on to taxpayers to figure out how to pay for, okay? In other words, a polluting business, it's not fair to pollute and then look at all the taxpayers and say, well, you clean up the mess that I created, effectively subsidizing the profits that a business makes. I think of this very similar to roads. The condition of roads, right, is impacted most acutely and with the greatest rate of degradation the larger the vehicle. Yet we have no mechanism here in the city of Milwaukee or the state of Wisconsin to properly actually shift the cost of these road capital expenditures, road upkeep, to the huge businesses that degrade our roads the most. And I'm looking at you, Jeff Bezos, and Amazon, and FedEx, and every other mail-based delivery system. I'm looking at the big manufacturing plants. The heavier the truck, the quicker the degradation. Jeremy, am I right about that? We don't have a mechanism to distinguish between road users, do we?
Absolutely. So Amazon, all their trucks you see, they're paying gas tax, assuming they're not electric ones. And that tax is covering the highways they use. It's covering the interstates they use. But most of those trucks are doing deliveries to local side streets that are entirely reliant on property tax dollars or wheel tax dollars to be repaired. So that you have hit the issue on the head.
It's a real gap in our local government funding system, amongst many others that we face here in the state of Wisconsin. Big thanks to Jeremy Janine standing alongside one of these very local roads in the city of Milwaukee that we're discussing. Folks, when we come back, I'm going to be rejoined by Nick Ramos, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We continue to discuss the fact that 88% of Wisconsinites want money out of politics, yet Elon Musk continues to bully both Wisconsin voters and media organizations that try to hold him accountable. Stay tuned. That discussion kicks back off when we return. Join us right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, y'all. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Tuesday. It's 5:30, and I got a great guest that was kind enough to stick around with me and each and every one of you. His name's Nick Ramos. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. The phone and text lines are open. We encourage your active participation in what is sure to be a lively dialogue for this last half hour of our program. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you want to check out all of the funny faces and heck yes that Nick and I give to each other while we're talking this afternoon, you can always watch this fine program on Civic Media's YouTube channel or at Maggie Dawn Show on Instagram, X, and the Book of Faces. Where we left off was with this. We are fighting for fair maps, not for Democrats, not for Republicans, but for voters. Fair maps are a nonpartisan issue. They shouldn't be weighted to advantage Republicans or Democrats or purple polka-dotted people eaters. They should simply be fairly drawn maps. Now, there are some system reforms that I think we can look at. We're looking at redrafting some of those maps, again, mid-decade. That will impact the House races in 2026. Keep your eyes on the first and third congressional districts. Yeah, we're coming for you, DVO and Brian Stile. Why? Not because they're Republicans, but because they are unresponsive to their constituent needs. But all of this points to this reality. When you have unfair maps that make elections uncompetitive, that means who actually is picking the winners of those elections? And since the Supreme Court in this country decided that money equals speech, that means that the person picking your elected official isn't the voters. It isn't the residents of those congressional districts. It's the deep-pocketed billionaires, like the billionaire baby boy overlord that we've had to live under for the last few months. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about none other than Elon Musk. Now, Nick, your organization, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, has tried to identify a couple of what I would call like ridiculously common sense reforms that I think all Wisconsinites could get behind. Tell us a little bit about those.
Well, look, I mean, you hit the nail on the head per usual. And the thing is that right now, because of the current state of not only our campaign finance system, but also the maps, it's, well, if you have people that have uber wealth, they are the ones and not us that get to choose who will then be our representative, our lawmaker, all of that stuff. And so we're in this unique position where folks are starting to really see, especially at the national level, you know, people say the word oligarchy, but like, you know, when you say that word, I mean, I heard somebody say Olive Garden. I'm like, no, oligarchy. And it means that, like, you have people that get cozy with power, and if you can pay to play, you can get the lawmakers and the elected officials to do whatever you want. And it's like, for people like you and me, I don't know about you, Maggie, but I don't have thousands or millions, you know, under a mattress somewhere that I can just go and shop around and find people that are going to do my bidding. And so right now we're in this really unique inflection point, especially coming off the heels of that Supreme Court race where over $100 million was spent. You had everyone trying to say that this was the election of the world, the destiny of the country. And it's just like, we need to make sure that those folks don't get to be the loudest people in the room. And it's not about how much money you have. It's one person, one vote, being able to make sure that they know who they are serving. It's public service. It's not serving the rich and wealthy and the 1% in this country or even around the world.
Nick, I'm going to drop what I'm going to hope ends up in the swag store for the Maggie Dawn Show. And it's not just one person, one vote. It's one person, one voice. You Yes. don't get to drown everybody out because you got a big bank account. I am not someone that can hire someone to do my bidding. I'm the one that gets hired to do other people's bidding. Like, I've always had a boss. I don't know what any of that is like to not have somebody telling me what to do. That's regular people's stuff. And we don't deserve to have our voices drowned out because we don't have enormous bank accounts. And the most egregious example of that was Elon Musk, of course, attempting to buy off voters in our last April election cycle. He explained all of this by stating what you were alluding to, Nick, which was that last Supreme Court race in April of this year that Susan Crawford won, despite millions, tens of millions being spent by Elon Musk in the state. He said this, that Supreme Court race might decide the future of America and Western civilization, end quote. And if that's true, then Elon, you shouldn't be paying off voters. If we're going to decide the fate of Western civilization, it should be left to the good people of the state of Wisconsin, whom I trust with that awesome responsibility. I don't trust the Elons. I trust the Wisconsinites to make those kinds of decisions. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What I think is interesting when we talk about system reforms, you know, Law Forward has brought a lawsuit to stop Elon Musk or any billionaire, say George Soros, if you don't like Mr. Soros, from trying to buy votes in the way that Mr. Musk did for Wisconsin's April Supreme Court election. Law Forward also bringing forward a lawsuit to introduce fusion voting, where folks aren't forced to vote for only the people of their party in primary elections and in general elections. You can vote and you can vote across party lines. You can vote for multiple candidates, and then you see how it sorts out. All of those things would help our electoral processes. The two specific reforms that I think every Wisconsinite, and again, Wisconsinite, 88% of us are like, we don't want money in politics. This is a problem because we know better, right? It's these two things: no foreign money in elections. And we could say that on a national basis. I could say that on a state basis if we wanted to get real granular about it. No foreign money. I think that's an even greater threat with crypto. You see certain folks within the MAGA movement trying to permit crypto creep into our elections. Like, heavens to Betsy, I don't want Elon Musk buying elections. I certainly don't want Vladimir Putin or the Iranian regime that we just bombed buying elections either. And the second reform is disclosure. No more dark money. We can all get behind this, can't we, Nick?
Well, I mean, you quoted the poll that the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign ran in the middle of February. We did a statewide poll to get a sense of just how do everyday Wisconsinites, doesn't matter Republican, Democrat, Independent, young, old, black, white, it doesn't matter. We wanted to learn just how people feel about when there are outside influences trying to buy elections, what does that do? Do you think that that's a problem? 88% of Wisconsin. Can you imagine how many issues do we have near 90% of agreement on? I mean, there's more that unites us than divides us. But like, this is something that everyone, and I travel the state a ton, the first thing they say to me is that I don't trust the process, because doesn't matter if it's the Dems or the Republicans, they're not listening to us. And why would they need to? I mean, we don't have the kind of money to help them win elections. We just have our vote. And of course, they need to be persuasive. But like, the thing is that at the end of the day, when you talk about crypto and you talk about just how these monies are being transferred between corporations and political parties and their committees, it's a wild arms race. And we need for people to understand who is trying to influence the election, because an informed electorate is dangerous, but it's important to our democracy. And you can't have a bunch of sheep that are sitting here thinking that we actually have some agency, when really the fact is we don't have free will when these systems are in place. And so my big thing is that with crypto, I mean, it's hard to trace. And like right now, like when you see people talking about like, oh, well, you know, we want to make sure that everybody can have their voice heard through how they spend their money. It's like, well, that's not fair to us when we're assuming that this process is supposed to be free and fair, and it's not.
That is so much there. The informed electorate is dangerous. What's more dangerous is the uninformed electorate, kept that way by billionaires who want you uninformed. They want to be able to run the con on you. They want sheeple, not actively involved, engaged Americans of every political persuasion showing up in the largest percentages of registered voters in American history. That's what scares the billionaire class. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, and I got to give a shout out to our listener, Cam from Appleton, who texted this into the text line, 855-752-4842, sharing that RFK Jr., I believe, today in congressional testimony said, quote, "My vision is that every American is wearing a wearable within 4 years." What he is talking about are those tech devices that monitor your biometrics. Oh, I wonder who that's going to eventually benefit. I can give you a guess. It probably ain't going to inure to the benefit of the average working Wisconsinite or Wisconsin families. It's going to inure to the benefit of the billionaire class that has been monetizing our private personal data for the last 30 years. The last thing I wanted to touch upon is the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's advocacy for independent redistricting committees. Tell people what this is and why it is so essential to have these in every state in order to draw fair legislative maps.
Look, I mean, I have heard so much about America first, America first. Why can't it be Wisconsin first? Why can we not like have real conversations about just making sure that whatever system that we pick, the people that are supposed to be our representatives, our elected officials, and have it be fair? And like, the fairest way forward for Wisconsin and creating a Wisconsin model looks like something to the effect of creating, similar to like Michigan, but not Michigan because we're not Michigan, having everyday people that come in that don't have skin in the game other than they care about democracy and they want to see the fairest maps drawn. And so we want to be able to create a nonpartisan redistricting commission with everyday people that get to look and start to talk about drawing maps that are constitutionally valid and that are just plain, straight out fair. And then from that, you know, the way that our Constitution's written, the lawmakers are the ones that get to continue to decide how the maps are drawn. So, like, we need to first have a commission that can make those decisions and speak to subject matter experts, and then have a constitutional amendment that will take the power in lawmakers' hands so that it's not the Dems that can gerrymander, it's not the Republicans that can gerrymander, it's the people that get to decide. And if they get to decide, we're all better for it. Everyone deserves a seat at the table. And right now, we have been sitting in the kids' table where there's lice, and we need to be able to actually have choices.
We need actual choices. We need an actual seat at the table. My blessings in abundance to you, my friend Nick Ramos, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. When we come back, I put it all together for each and every one of you. Stay tuned. It's Maggie Dawn right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome. If you are just joining us, and happy Tuesday afternoon. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I just want to give the biggest thanks to all of our incredible Wisconsin-based and Milwaukee-based guests today, starting with Angela Lang of Block here in Milwaukee, Emily Miata of Kids Forward, Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and of course, Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee. I promised you that I would stitch together all of these seemingly disparate items that we talked about today, right? We began by talking about some of the gun violence in Milwaukee and the idea that, of course, personal responsibility is part of the solution, but so is acknowledgement that there are systemic realities that drive some of the incidents of violence, that we need to have a broader conversation about what's going on there, that we need to invest in violence prevention. We then pivoted to talk to Emily Miata of Kids Forward about the incredible disparities that we see here in the state of Wisconsin in the overall wellness of Black and brown kids here and white kids here. And again, the systemic limitations, the systemic unfairness that has plagued our state when it comes to those disparities for decades. We are amongst the worst in the nation. We then brought Nick on to talk about the unfairness built into a system of government and elections in this country that says that money equals speech and therefore places the interests of billionaires and mega corporations ahead of your interests and my interests, and therefore places our elected officials outside of any possible accountability to voters. Do you think Congress is dysfunctional? Yeah? Well, it's because we have unfair maps. It's because we have money in politics that Congress is so dysfunctional. We then brought on Jeremy Janine and we talked about how to possibly pay for hundreds of millions of dollars in backlogged local road maintenance. We talked about the idea of businesses unfairly shifting the costs of their doing business through pollution or road degradation onto local taxpayers, and state government not fairly addressing those funding needs of local governments. The fact that here in the state of Wisconsin, local governments across the state are facing similar fiscal challenges when it comes to the capital improvements needed to ensure that their local roads are usable and safe for all of their citizens. What's the theme here? The theme here is fairness. The theme here is to see beyond the partisanship, beyond the urban-rural divide, beyond the tribalism of Democrats and Republicans, beyond Black and white. Because it's not about that right now in our country. It is about basic fairness. There should never be rules for me and rules for thee. We should be operating from the same set of rules that promote fairness. That is something that I think all of us universally agree about. But we don't have today our fair systems, our fair electoral processes. We all need to stand up and say to all of our elected officials, Democrats and Republicans, we want fairness. Fairness in our tax policy and fairness in our campaign policies, our campaign finance policies. We want fairness, of course, in our election systems. What are some of the things that we should be asking for? Well, we should be asking for the state to fully fund childcare, to fully fund public education. That's fair. It's fair to all kids to do a better job funding public education. It's fair to business owners that need educated workforces. We should be looking again to break through the partisanship that is exploited, through the urban-rural divide that is exploited by many who seek not for greater national unity, not for greater fairness, but greater advantage at the expense of others. That's what we should be worried about. Most of all, we should be looking at some of these system reforms, like independent redistricting committees for how we draw legislative maps. Who in their right minds thinks that legislators should draw their own legislative maps? They do have a wee bit of a conflict of interest, wouldn't we say? And those independent redistricting committees shouldn't be filled with partisans, but subject matter experts and regular people who are seeking fairness. We should be banning foreign money in campaign finance. We should be banning crypto in finance. We should be banning, of course, Elon Musk's or George Soros's attempt to buy voters in individual states and thereby buy elections. All of these things are of a whole. And if we zoom way out, what we hope to then see as a result is a functional Congress, an Article I branch of our federal government that actually stands up for itself and by extension, the little people. We can do better, Wisconsin. We can do better than this America, and we certainly deserve better. I thank you for spending part of your afternoon with me. I'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday. We've got a great show lined up for you. Again, chocked full of expert guests. Join us again. We bring the national to the state to the local, and tell you why it matters to you. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.